Radio Reverb, Brighton Festivals 2018. Now, all of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018 with Melissa Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Alita Dennett. This is Thursday's Brighton Festival special. We're here during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeated 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals. And as the festival draws to a close, there's still plenty to see. And for our penultimate show, we're looking behind the scenes at the Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, creators and people who make it happen. Today we're finding out about a kaleidoscopic queer temple party.
Meeting a musical collaborator with festival guest director David Shrigley.
Looking forward to events in East Brighton this weekend.
Along with reviews and previews in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. As we said, there are still loads and loads of things to go and see and do in the festival this weekend. I'm a bit gutted about the weather though, because your place is coming up. And last weekend in Hangleton, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Well, let me just double check. I mean, it's...
Go on then. This is live weather report. Live weather report.
We're saying Saturday sunny. Maybe a bit of thunder. It's British weather.
It could go either way.
Yes. Come on, it's the bank holiday. I mean, if we get any sunshine...
Oh, there is that as well, yes.
Blessing.
Well, Your Place is a community initiative which takes the Brighton Festival out of the city centre and into some of the more outlying parts of Brighton and Hove. It all started with a conversation with last year's guest artistic director, Kate Tempest, and a year down the line, this festival within a festival has grown even bigger. Last weekend, Your Place happened in Hangleton and there was a secret gig by Kate Tempest, which had the community buzzing. There was a weekend of performances, workshops, exhibitions, dancing and song on the bandstand. I took the number 5 bus up to Hangleton to see what was happening.
I'm Valerie Fouché, I'm the manager at Hangleton Community Centre.
It's a glorious afternoon, the sun's shining, the community are out, all ages, they brought their dogs with them, we're listening to community choir on the stage, on this beautiful bandstand. You couldn't really have wished for a better day, I think.
My name's Charlotte and I live in Hangleton, just round the corner from here. There's a real sense of community, like people just sitting around having picnics, having fun, you know, going in to watch a show or just watching something on the bandstand. To me personally, I get quite emotional about this kind of thing because I can access this kind of thing. You know, I'll go to venues, I'll go and see shows, you know, I've been kind of brought up, you know, worked in the arts. But for me, this is what it's about. It's about people that don't have the access to this kind of thing, you know, day to day. And just seeing them having fun, you know, people from all walks of life. It's great.
Well, that was Hangleton last weekend. This weekend, it's the turn of East Brighton to host Your Place. Valerie Fouché, the manager of Hangleton Community Centre, and Jackie Summers from East Brighton came to Radio Reverb. Jackie told us to do some sun dancing, if you remember rightly.
We're trying.
We will have to step up our game on that one, I think. And they told us what their reaction was when they were first invited to take part last year.
Well, why not? I mean, and this thing with Kate Tempest, the fact that it was her as guest director that said, let's get it out into the communities, make it accessible to more people. Oh, it's just, why would you not be involved? It's amazing.
And Valerie, was that your response at Hangleton as well?
We thought that's going to be so amazing if we have one show from Brighton Festival in the community centre, and they came up with a whole weekend of free events. So it was like, we were totally blown away.
Yeah. So give us a flavour of some of the events that took place last year before we come on to this year's ones.
Well, Kate Tempest obviously was amazing. We had quite a few children's events. I've got a sister with special needs. We went along on the Sunday. Oh, God, there was so much going on. There was, like, little workshops. There was a dance troupe outside. There was just something for everyone. And it was, again, to use the word again, blown away by the support we got, the amount of people that turned up, the performances.
For the local community, that was the first time they were going to a Brighton Festival event.
Sure.
Because they don't go to town, they don't take a bus and take the whole family.
So it's expensive.
Even when you have a car, just it's not something. Brighton Festival was completely out of the picture, and in town you can see how busy it is, how so many things are going on. But in Hangleton, you can go for the whole 3 weeks without seeing anything.
Yeah.
Until this year.
You're agreeing there, Jackie. Oh, so was that the experience with you as well in East Brighton?
Totally. I think it was like considered quite elitist, the festival, I think. So to have it in the community and community members to make use of it and see what was going on was amazing. I also think this year, because we did last year, we've learnt from things, even though it was amazing, and people are actually going out in the community now with programmes and door knocking and getting sort of a dialogue going with people as well. So I'm hoping more local people will respond to that.
So what have you got going on, Jackie? Give us a flavour of the stuff that's happening.
It's just going to be fabulous. It's just going to be a brilliant weekend because, again, although last year's was fab, I think this is going to be bigger and better because we've experienced last year and we're more confident in what we're doing. There's something for everyone. One of the most wonderful things about this, I think, is that it's a bond for the community to experience things together that they wouldn't have done. Sounds a bit preachy, that, and I don't mean it to, but it's just nice to see everyone together getting involved in stuff. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is Kate McCoy doing the washing up, which sounds
bizarre. Hang on, you've got someone doing the washing up?
Hold on.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually based on what you think and feel when you're doing the washing up, the politics of the washing up, who does the washing up. It sounds mad. You've got to see it. Come and see it.
And I have to say, I do some volunteering for a charity in Brighton, and I was sent an invitation to go to a performance of that earlier this week, which I couldn't get to go to because I had other commitments. But so that is an example to me of how it was reaching out to volunteers for Impetus, a charity that, you know, got invites to come along to one of the shows.
It's all raising interest and awareness. Another brilliant local team, a Culture Clash, where young people, rappers, comedians, poets, and they've just got such energy. They're very edgy, very urban, and they're just always great to watch. It doesn't matter how old you are. Just, you know, come and get involved. It's amazing.
I wonder if you've done anything like bring younger and older people together as well.
I tell you, the age group, the differing ages watching Kate Tempest last year was out of this world.
Great.
It was a 94-year-old stood there watching her rocking out. It was amazing. So I think, it does bring young and old together. You're just all getting involved in stuff. Because it also raises awareness of the community centres as well and what we do.
Absolutely, yeah.
It does, yeah. And we have a commitment from Brighton Festival for 3 years.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, which
brilliant.
Is amazing, yeah.
Jackie Summers from East Brighton and Valerie Fouché from Hangleton talking about your place. And this weekend's events take place at Manor Gym in East Brighton on Saturday and Sunday. And hurrah, it's free.
And if you're wondering, well, who exactly is there and when, you can check that out on the Brighton Festival website. But there's a huge list of things going on. There's David Shrigley's due to be there, the Ragroof Players, Futuries Unwritten Theatre Company, Herringbone Arts, Joanna Neary, Kate McCoy, Touch Theatre, Culture Crash, blah, 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 blah. There's so many. And I spotted a tweet from Ragroof Players this afternoon about their rehearsal for a Happy Feet flash mob on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
So there's plenty of stuff going on up there. So take a check of the times of all the different events and whether it's ticketed or not or what's going on. But it's all free. That's Manor Gym, East Brighton, Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent. And happening tonight, if you're listening to the live show, Les Amazons d'Afrique and a track from them, I Play Cora. That is going to be a cracker of a gig tonight at Brighton Dome, Les Amazons d'Afrique. And always worth, as we keep saying, as we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, checking the Brighton Festival website. If some things look like they're sold out, there are very often returns and, you know, people's plans change when they book tickets. So do go down and check out that one. They're often festival standby tickets for £10 as well. So checking on the festival website, just pitching up in person or having a look on Twitter at BrightFest.
Now, yesterday, the actor Kathy Tyson joined us on the Brighton Festival show, and she came into the Radio Reverb studio along with the Heath Quartet ahead of their show, The String Quartet's Guide to Sex and Anxiety at the Theatre Royal. And Kathy talked about her role.
I don't want to be formulaic about grief, which is what my character's going through. Mm. And I still feel as if I'm, you know, really building on what we've done in the past, and I think the others are as well. And I was thinking about anger and how there's words in the piece, you know, how life is so is constructed in such a merciless fashion that even when we plan, what the hell is the point of it? And things like that really help me get into character.
Well, our reviewer Dan Babaline has been to see The String Quartet's Guide to Sex and Anxiety, and we'll hear what he has to say about it in a few moments' time. First of all, Kathy brought in the Heath Quartet with her yesterday, much to our surprise, because we thought we were just having Kathy, and then four musicians picked
great
up
surprise.
As well. Great
surprise.
It was a huge surprise. It genuinely was. But that's what live radio does. So it's like, yeah, come on in. We'll have the Heath Quartet in with us. And they played really rather beautifully. Here is an extract of what they had played yesterday. A little drop of Beethoven. Live on Radio Reverb, that's the Heath Quartet, came into our studio yesterday with Kathy Tyson. And our reviewer Dan Babaline has been to see The String Quartet's Guide to Sex and Anxiety, which opened last night at the Theatre Royal. It's on again tonight. Welcome to Radio Reverb, Dan.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking at this in the programme, and obviously the title catches the eye. It's got the word sex and the word anxiety in it, but I was wondering what you were expecting before you went to it.
Well, I heard an interview with the director on Radio 4 and he was saying about how, you know, death is imminent and he was talking about mental health and all of these really kind of emotive and deep topics. And so I was expecting something intense and something a little different. But what I was completely unprepared for just how intense and how much impact it carried. It was really, really stunning.
Really? I mean, it sounded like, I mean, heavy is not necessarily the right word to use, but intense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that was one of the things that was so brilliant about it as well, because I think it's one of the things that's so brilliant about the Brighton Festival, because, you know, so much art that we see is out there for entertainment and to make you feel good. And there are so many issues in society that we kind of brush under the carpet, and actually having something that is stark and intense and sad was so beautiful to perceive.
Now, I think Kathy is one of four actors who performed during the piece, isn't she? And she made a point of telling us a couple of times that she's addressing the audience and they talk to the audience. And with that, that must add to the intensity. How did you find it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but the four actors kind of, they all deliver these kind of speeches about how they're feeling. And I mean, in the opening, they actually leave the lights up in the auditorium. So there's very much a kind of oneness with the stage
wow.
and the viewers.
Wow, so
and
you feel like you're part of it then. The lights are on. Okay.
Yeah, and all four of the characters, the stage is so sparse, but it carries so much impact. And then each of the actors is so personal that you go so deep into their characters. So it's very intense and just wonderful, yeah. Really
and
cool.
These are readings which are read over the backing of the Heath String Quartet who are playing. What were the readings like? Because there was one that we played on the programme yesterday which goes back to 1621 about melancholy. So
yeah.
Obviously some very historic texts there.
Yeah, and I think also they use kind of old music as well, you know, right back to Beethoven, but then also Ligeti. And there's kind of there's a feeling of history to the idea that we experience melancholy as part of the human experience, but it's amazing how uncomfortable it makes everyone to all perceive it, and you know, in such stark terms, because there's something kind of private about mental health that isn't kind of talked about, and it was so refreshing to have that.
So you say refreshing, so is it helpful to have it sort of played out there?
Yeah, I think so. I think that as a society, there's a tendency to sweep those things under the carpet. But it's something that so many people go through. And so having it just out there on stage, sex and anxiety are two things that no one talks about.
Yeah.
Even if you, you know, well, yeah, if you're having negative experiences, I suppose, yeah.
And one of the things that we were saying yesterday as well when Kathy was in was about it was likely to be the kind of show that sparks off conversations. Did you get the sense when people were leaving that there were conversations happening about that, or did people just look a bit shell-shocked?
I mean, I was in the shell-shocked group. And then we all had to absorb what had just happened, you know. But certainly there was a huge reaction. It's a really intense and wonderful experience. And I would recommend it to anyone out there thinking of going. It's something that you'll see once and you'll remember all year and you'll be thinking about it.
Well, I'm certainly going tonight and I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah. Dan Babbling, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. That's the String Quartet's Guide to Sex and Anxiety tonight, last night only at the Theatre Royal. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers.
And you're listening to the Brighton Festival Show on Radio Reverb with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals here on 97.2 FM, DAB and online. And this year's Brighton Festival guest artistic director, David Shrigley, is rather keen on collaborations. And one of the people he's worked with is the Glaswegian musician Ian Shaw. Together, they've created a number of tracks with David's lyrics and Ian's music, many of them with a dark or surreal edge.
Well, tonight they both appear at St George's Church in Kemp Town, along with fellow Scot Malcolm Middleton, formerly 50% of Arab Strap. I caught up with Ian as he got off the train to head to his sound check. And before we hear from him, let's hear one of their collaborations. This is called Malicious Invective.
Went to bed with all my clothes on and did not undress because I was so tired. I'd been working, writing abusive words and sending them by email to random strangers found on the internet.
Scattergun abuse and malicious invective is the only thing that I truly enjoy. Scattergun abuse and malicious invective, it's the only thing that I truly enjoy.
If you're gonna do something, then you should try to do it well. Even if it's a bad thing and it upsets people. If you don't like what I do, maybe you should alert the authorities. That would be reasonable and it would perhaps be doing me a favour.
Scattergun abuse and malicious invective is the only thing that I truly enjoy. Scattergun abuse and malicious invective, it's the only thing that I truly enjoy.
My name's Ian Shaw. I play guitar and I sing.
A lot of your songs have anxieties in them.
Losing
your parking space, listening to Slayer while the world burns, mm-hmm. internet trolling. You sound like the perfect complement to Malcolm Middleton's somewhat cheerful nihilism.
Well, the thing is, I don't write the lyrics. David Shrigley writes the lyrics, all the lyrics. And then I make songs out of them. So all of the songs I'm doing tonight are David's lyrics. So we've done an EP before called Awesome, a single called Listening to Slayer, and we're currently working on an album. And that's where a lot of these tracks that you'll hear tonight are, if you come along.
But you don't mind singing other people's words then? You don't say oh, that doesn't work?
I much rather have somebody give me lyrics to work with.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, definitely. The way it started off was I saw lyrics in a magazine for the song Dinosaur Egg, which I recorded. I knew David Shrigley was in Glasgow, and it was in a record shop in Glasgow that I saw it, and I took a note of the lyrics, and I made a song of it and gave David the CD, and that's how it all started.
He must have loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. And he asked me, he didn't give me more lyrics to work with, like loads more. He sent me about 40 songs and to work with. That was for the last batch. This is ones he had made, but other people had done them before. And then he wrote a new batch, like Listening to Slayer, that was specifically to work with me for this album. So, yeah, I much rather work with David's lyrics than sit write my own lyrics. I've got nothing to say. And I would never think of it. Yeah,
it's unusual for a songwriter to say they've got nothing to say.
Yeah, I think lots of lyrics. I think that with lots of lyrics, that's just a load of rubbish, you know. Like if you have great songs, but the lyrics are just nonsense. And then, you know, like, I mean, people might think these load of rubbish, but I like them.
You release them on the ultimate hipster format on cassette.
Cassette, that was with a wee label in Chicago. Because of David's kind of social media, I suppose it was his Instagram or something, he would just like put it out a couple of times and they'd all go. Because it was just a tiny label. So they had quite a few reprints of that, purely because of David Strigley. But and then yeah, they played both of them now, and it's a good one. I think most people probably just have it to have as an artifact. I doubt many people play it. But you get download code with it anyway.
You do, yeah. So what's your working relationship with David Strigley like at the moment then?
He's a very busy, laid back guy. So I go and I record them up in Stornoway, where I live, so up in the Isle of Lewis. So I record them there and then I send them. And then we just put them out in whatever format, like either on the last one was a 7-inch single, Listening to Slayer.
You come all the way from Glasgow to play in Brighton tonight with Malcolm Middleton.
Yes.
David Strigley's going to be DJing. It's going to be a bit of a big night up in St George's Church.
I hope so. Yeah. I really like Malcolm Middleton's music. So Malcolm Middleton has made records with David Strigley as well. But I think his has been a lot more electronic based and studio based. They've got lots and lots of samples and things. But Malcolm will be just playing his own stuff and David will be DJing. Yeah, it's good tasting music. Guitar music, I would imagine, will feature heavily in it.
That was Ian Shaw talking about his collaboration with David Strigley ahead of tonight's gig at St George's Church in Kemp Town. So let's hear another of their tracks. This is Listening to Slayer.
It's just about to happen, and everyone is running about like idiots. They're shouting and screaming and behaving like hysterical morons, but you won't catch me doing that. I'm just sitting here drinking a sugary beverage and listening to Slayer, their first album. Show no mercy, show no mercy. And oh, this sky has turned red, and the volcanoes are erupting, and the rivers are overflowing. There is no way of knowing how long we have left, but I don't care. I'm just sitting here drinking a sugary beverage and listening to Slayer, their third album. Rain and blood, rain and blood, rain and blood, rain and blood, rain and blood. Oh, and everything is getting hot, and the pavements are melting, and all the plants are dying. There is wailing, there is crying, but I don't care. I'm just sitting here drinking my energy drink and listening to Slayer, their fifth album. Seasons in the abyss, seasons in the abyss. And oh, when everything is on the fire and the sky is full of smoke and the world is on the barbecue, my house is burning down, but I don't care. In my underground lair, I'm just sitting here drinking my energy drink and listening to Slayer, their ninth album. God hates us all, God hates us all. God hates us all.
Yeah, I'm rather liking the nihilism of that one. We heard earlier, before listening to Slayer, Ian Shaw talking about his collaboration with David Shrigley. Tonight, they are all at St George's Church in Kemp Town, along with Malcolm Middleton. I'm not sure it's actually sold out, that one, but check on the festival website or check on their Twitter at Brightfest. So the Brighton Festival website, as ever, is brightonfestival.com.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Now, tomorrow night, that's Friday, there is an Afrofuturist party coming to the Brighton Dome in the form of Broughton Abbey. Now, before we find out more about what's on offer at the Dome, let's hear from the headliner. Here's New Orleans Queen of Bounce, Big Frida, with Rent. Oh, I'm having a little bit of a boogie in the studio, Melita.
It's not a pretty sight.
Seriously. I'm glad this is the penultimate show because I've had just about enough of you insulting me somewhere around 5:30 every weekday.
Oh, sorry. Well, you've been rude to me as well.
Not rude enough, frankly.
I'm sure you'll make up for it. There's still 1.5 programmes to go.
Anyway, that was Big Frida with Rent, and Big Frida is headlining Broughton Abbey. It's brought to us by the folks that brought us Mickey Blanco to Brighton Festival 2017, and it's billed as a new Afro-futurist collective that will take you to church. The evening is said to be a queer pastoral performance party that will transform Brighton Dome into a kaleidoscopic off-world temple. The organisers, Tariq El-Mutawakil, producer and programmer at the Marlborough Theatre, and Rob Jones from the Brighton Festival, came into Radio Reverb to tell us how the collaboration came about.
Recently, we realised that actually part of the reason why we kind of really started to really connect in terms of wanting to make something together was after seeing some work that was really problematic, that was kind of using queer people of colour rather than elevating. They kind of feel like kind of being using them as tools. Yeah. And we were just like, this is messy when it's in the wrong hands.
Yeah. We really bonded over that. We've been friends for a while, but actually that kind of galvanised something, and we kind of saw a common purpose and interest in the way we wanted spaces to feel for everyone, not just certain types of people.
And as queer people of colour ourselves, it made sense to us that that's something that we would want to be working with other... We will use cutie-poc artists, queer, trans or intersex POs, people of colour.
Don't give us more letters.
Have you never heard cutie-poc?
Oh, that's the one. You've got to know that.
It's all about the cutie-pocs.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. I like cutie-poc. So, Herman, what is this kaleidoscopic off-world temple then?
It's a big party. It's inspired in some way by the sort of stuff that I have created in festivals, but taken onto a much bigger level. So there's performance happening all over the place, on the stage, in the auditorium, in a separate room.
There's a secret breathing womb for, like, small groups of audience members at a time where you go in and have this beautiful kind of breathing experience with this gorgeous artist called Rhea Hartley. You discover things, you feel things, you move around.
It's complex in a way, but I think that's also like the people that are involved in making it, you know, where we're not just one thing. No one is really just one thing.
Sure. So looking at it, and I mean, you've said, you know, okay, it's a kaleidoscopic off-world temple, but actually it's sort of club night. So my question would be, is it right that a club night's in the festival?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I think this is a really great way of engaging with people that don't maybe normally
come to the festival. And we've done them in the past. We've had African Dance Party for 2 years running, we did. We've done party nights, club nights, but this is definitely more than... I mean, you could come just to have a drink, see Big Frida, have a bloody good dance, listen to amazing DJs, but get so much more. Incredible performance that says something, that will, you know, bring people together and kind of, do something different.
The way that I see a party, that party is not just a party, at least when I put a party on. It's never just like...
No, I was going to say, I mean, I asked that from a background of someone who has for many years loved Ducky, and the fact that Ducky has a club night always has some element of artistic performance. So it's how you then make the people that come along to club night see that actually maybe art is something they could do and culture outside of the clubbing experience. Yeah. Or is that trying too hard?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a way of audiences who would not normally engage with performance art or live art, and they actually have it in their faces. And also similarly, audiences who normally maybe don't engage with the clubbing experience are able to experience that as well, because personally I when I go to music festivals, art and music festivals like Glastonbury, those are the spaces when I really connect with live art and performance art and these kind of weird and wonderful things. When you're more free, rather than being in a gallery space, and it's kind of in galleries, I always feel like things are a bit dead.
You have to behave, and you have to sit and stand a certain way, and this kind of loosened up.
Yeah, and you often don't feel like, particularly if you're like a person with intersectional identities, you don't necessarily feel that is a space that you're meant to be in. Yeah. People kind of look at you like, "Why are you here?" And so there's something about creating a space where we can all feel that we're meant to be there.
Yeah.
Kind of like this critical mass of like, this is a place for us where we can be present and represent all the different interesting parts of ourselves and be our full selves.
It sounds to me like there's another side of the coin, though, in that you might want to maybe discombobulate people, maybe put people a little bit outside their comfort zone, offer the unexpected.
Well, yeah, why not?
It's going to be a mix of both. I'd like to have people, in a way, a bit out of our comfort zone, but then also there's lots of things that we're putting to make sure that people are comfortable, whether it's through the accessible ways that we have. We've got BSL interpreters. We have space for wheelchair access. There's a lot of seating in the venue as well, so we've taken the dance floor out, but you can actually...
If you're not someone who could stand and dance all night long, that's completely... You can work for you as well.
And watch space. And enjoy. So we do also want people to be comfortable, but in a way that they maybe haven't experienced before.
Yeah. When Melita asked that question, I wish people could have seen the cheeky grins on both of your faces. We have two men with big smiles and cheeky looking... I mean, there's a glint in your eyes. It's like, yeah, we might discombobulate some people.
I hope so. I mean, I've got a few little techniques, I think, that when you come into the space, it should feel like, oh, this is different.
You're going to be seeing the Dome Concert Hall in a way that it's never been presented before. There's some gorgeous pieces of set and elements of design that are going into
it. So what is the actual lineup then, as well as the... Who have you got?
So we have Rhea Hartley, Malik Nasad Sharp, Lusana Shabazz, and
Rachel Young.
Rachel Young.
With DJ sets from DJ Jamu, who does Gal Pals, and Sister Selector, who do have their show.
They have their own radio show and they DJ all over Brighton.
Yeah.
It's all of these people are queer people and people of colour, or queer aligned people of colour.
Yeah. And have a good, on the whole, either from Brighton or have a really strong connection to the place.
Are you seeing this as a springboard to maybe something which went on a bit longer, maybe a festival over a couple of days?
I would really love to see Brownton Abbey in festivals. Something that really occurred to me last year when I was doing a few festivals. There are now spaces, for example, at Glastonbury, there is the Sisterhood.
Yeah.
It actually is only for women to go inside, which I love. I would love to see a place that was run by queer people of colour, or just people of colour. Like, I've never seen that at a festival, and what that would mean to have our own space. So I would love to see Brownton Abbey going to all sorts of different places. But also I feel like there's something about it being in cities as well, and going to places where communities actually exist.
Need it. This is a breath of fresh air. There aren't many things like this. And should we talk about Saturday service?
We should talk about Saturday service.
Yeah, we'll let you, yeah.
I looked at that and I thought, how are people going to get up on a Saturday after the Friday night? But you can explain what Saturday service is and then I can ask that question maybe.
Yeah, well, it starts at 1 and it's basically another sort of communal moment for people to come together from the night before.
It's a reinterpretation of a church sort of event in our own way. And so, and same with Brownton Abbey as well. A lot of what was behind us is kind of like finding our own way of having spiritual moments. So that is what will be happening on Saturday afternoon. There'll be food, we'll be playing some music. We'll be just chilling out together. And actually, again, the reason why I really wanted to have the Saturday service was because I thought we're gonna meet a load of brilliant people on the Friday night, and and a lot of people are like, oh, I didn't know you lived here in Brighton.
Yeah.
There's more of us than we thought. But we might not get a chance to like connect and swap numbers. And I wanted to have like another moment where we're like, okay, here you are.
Do that.
I like your moves in the dance floor last night. Let's talk some more.
How does that work with tickets? Is that the same ticket, or you have to get a ticket for...
You can buy a ticket for the Saturday service. It's only a small cost of £3.
It's £3.
It's £3. It's just
nothing.
Towards the food. But if you really can't afford that and you've bought tickets to Main Event, let us know and we'll see what we can do.
Get you in, no worries. Yeah. No worries. We just want people to show up and have a nice reconnect.
We want people to come and enjoy it and be present.
Bring some food too. It's going to be like a bit of a sharing thing.
Where is it?
In the basement on Kensington Street.
You two look like you're buzzing. You're looking really excited.
It might be the lack of sleep.
We've been talking about this for over a year and it's going to be wonderful, and it's that thing of we've thrown a party, we really hope you like it.
Yeah.
You come.
Tariq El-Mutawakkil and Rob Jones talking about the party they're throwing, a.k.a. Broughton Abbey at Brighton Dome tomorrow from 8 o'clock till late. And the recommendation is to get there on time at 8 o'clock because it does start promptly. And if you get there late, you'll miss some of the acts. The tickets are just £15. There are standby tickets, £10, that may be available. You going, Melita?
I am going. It's going to be brilliant.
You've seen Big Frieda before.
I have seen
you?
Big Frieda. I saw Big Frieda at the Haunt to about 30 people.
I think there'll be
a
few more people.
It was a stunning gig. I think there will be more, considerably more than 30 people there. And they'll all pretend they saw her first time at the Haunt.
You might love my dancing.
Yes, I might say to you on Saturday, I like your moves, Rebecca.
Yeah, you might, I might not.
And we're going to be hearing from our reviewer, Jack Claremont, in a few minutes' time, who's been out and about over the course of the festival, finding out some of his picks of the 2018 Brighton Festival. First of all, let us rewind the clock. Let's go back 3 weeks, because they kicked off the Brighton Festival. This is Jungle and Busy Earning. I really can't believe it was 3 weeks ago now, but it was. That was Jungle who kicked off the Brighton Festival. And our reporter and reviewer, Jack Claremont, has been to see a whole selection of goodies within the festival. That was your first one.
That was. What a way to kick it off.
It was your first ever Brighton Festival.
My first ever Brighton Festival. I had moved to Brighton 2 days before going to see Jungle. So it was all the fireworks and everything I thought were for me, but apparently not. It was for the festival and stuff like that. But so kicked it off with Jungle, and what a way to start. They were just amazing in the Brighton Dome. Huge, huge live sound. Was really impressed by the space and by the whole audience. Everyone was really up for it, really going for it. They did a load of new stuff, as well as some of the their great kind of first album stuff like that, Busy Earning. So, yeah, great way to start. I thought it was that really hot Bank Holiday
it
Monday
was, wasn't
as well.
It? Yes.
And it was just kind of like a really nice, just suited the mood perfectly and was a really great way to start. And then, yeah, over the last few, I can't believe it has been 3 weeks, just like you said. It's been kind of bonkers.
It's a whirlwind.
What I've gone to see and what I've gone to do.
I hope you haven't unpacked at all yet. I like to think that you've still got boxes of stuff from when you moved in.
I literally today just unpacked another box. I mean, I'm still going.
Well, there's stuff to do. Yes, I mean, unpacking can wait.
Yeah,
it can happen another time. So what my other picks, I went to see the amazing John Sermon down at the St. George's Church in Kemp Town, which was great for many reasons. Being a bit of a jazz lover, that was kind of a religious experience almost, especially in that church. And he was just amazing. Had a really, really beautiful pianist with him as well. So it was just great. He was doing stuff on the recorder that was totally mind-blowing, really. I mean, the recorder to me was always an instrument that I veered away from.
Instrument of torture.
But he actually made it work. And he hooked it up with a synthesizer as well. So it was some really crazy stuff that he was doing with a recorder, which definitely would have made sort of reception music lessons go a lot nicer. But and then also in St. George's Church, which, what a space that is.
It's a fantastic
They've
place.
Had some cracking stuff
they
this
have,
festival
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
It's been a really eclectic mix of artists that have been on there. I mean, obviously David Shrigley on there tonight with Ian Shore, we've heard. But
Yeah, that's going to be brilliant. So I went to see Xyloris White there as well, which is kind of like the other end of jazz from John Sermon. It's totally avant-garde, free jazz, prog rock.
Cretan music.
Beautiful. They've got Georgios Xyloris, who uses the Cretan lute and... again, not an instrument you often hear, but it was just magnificent. He's got Jim White on drums from the Dirty Three, and together they just kind of create this amazing, amazing sound, absolutely huge. I spoke to a couple of people afterwards, and there's a couple of Greek guys there, and they were saying that it was really interesting because Xyloris's father was a fairly well-known musician back in Greece as well.
Uh-huh.
And what Xyloris White were doing was playing on themes and songs from Greece and just turning them into these kind of long prog rock style big things. Like, they
Very
even
nice.
Did a lullaby at one point, an old Greek lullaby, which is just amazing.
Gosh. So do you think... necessarily, if you'd been Greek and you'd known those songs, you would have got maybe a bit more from it, or were you happy with your lack of knowledge of Greek lullabies?
Absolutely. My lack of knowledge of Greek lullabies didn't bother me at all. It was amazing. I guess they were saying they did get even more out of it, so that's amazing that they were able to do that and find that kind of space in a church in Kemptown, which is just magnificent. Been to a few of the art things, so I went to see the Belonging Bandstand, which was really, really cool, and I hope people went to go and see it at the different Your Place venues as well.
So I went up to Hangleton,
It must have been great.
Oh, it was an amazing day in Hangleton. It was glorious.
Yeah.
Such a great community vibe up there, yeah.
It's super lovely, and that it's a really, really nice project that's going on. I also went to the video dance, Charlotte Vincent.
Shut down. Onca. Still going this weekend. Last chance.
Oh, really? That's great. Right. So, yeah, everybody should try and see that. As I said before on the show, for myself, not being a dance aficionado at all, you know, some people might not believe that, but it is true.
You and Rebecca.
Oh, here we go. Another chance. Threw another biscuit, didn't you?
So I thought, oh, this isn't really going to be for me, but it will be interesting. And it was absolutely fascinating and a really, really interesting look at masculinity and what it is to be male. So I would definitely recommend everybody go and check that out.
It's very bold and quite challenging, isn't it?
Big time. And another thing that I went to go and see that I thought was absolutely amazing was this week, and that was A Change Is Going to Come, which...
I'm sorry I missed that. That was the civil rights protest song, wasn't it?
Yeah, so a brilliant kind of collection of musicians. You had Nicky Yo, Nubia Garcia, Speech to Bell and Carleen Anderson. Just amazing, amazing collection. And it was kind of set up as a radio show. It was a really interesting premise. And they were saying, you know, you're live listening to, I can't remember what station it was, live from Brighton Dome, and we're going to start off today's show with, and then they just went into all sorts of different songs.
Oh, nice idea.
Yeah, yeah, and they were, and different artists were coming, they started off with Alabama, the John Coltrane composition, and they went on to, like, Gil Scott-Heron, they did to Marvin Gaye, all sorts of
it's
stuff.
It's interesting as well, because politically, I don't know how many stations played those tunes. I mean, a lot of those tunes probably weren't aired on radio stations across the US at the time.
Absolutely.
But
it was that was a really, really interesting gig, and I totally enjoyed it. The musicians were superb. So it's kind of been all sorts. And the annoying thing is, the real unfortunate thing is that I'm not going to be here this weekend. And there is so much going on.
Yes, there is. You're going to miss out, Jack. You're missing out.
There is so much. If I could just throw in my two cents into what people should go and see, in my opinion.
Please do.
There's a couple of great things going on. One is actually a friend of mine. She is performing as part of the Poets and Illustrators event. And so they've got poets, Holly McNish, Bridget Minimore, who is a friend of mine, Toby Campion and Teresa Lola. They're doing live poetry and inspired by David Trigley and off of his theme of hard work. And then there's live illustrations going on from Jess Wilson and Cressida Chambov.
And that's at St George's Church again.
Again.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah. Great. 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Great place to be. So that'll be amazing. Ezra Furman is playing at the Brighton Dome on Saturday as well, which is going to be pretty special. Music is fantastic. Tomorrow night, for comedy fans, I'm a big Tim Key fan, so would thoroughly recommend Tim Key. And then Brownton Abbey, that just sounded
amazing.
It's
going to be great. It's going to be brilliant.
Absolutely amazing. And tonight, I'm going to try and get along to Les Amazones d'Afrique, which looks really, really cool. Collection of the just kind of West African all-female supergroup.
That's with a political message as well.
Straight up my street. So what a festival. It's been a pleasure to kind of come on here and just rave about what I've seen, because it really has. Everything I've seen, I've just loved. And it's been eclectic and amazing.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here as well, Jack.
Good first three weeks in Brighton for you. Exactly. Welcome to your new home.
What the next 3 weeks are going to bring.
And I think we might do it all again next year.
Absolutely.
And Rebecca, I'm looking at the clock because you're heading up to Brighton Open Air Theatre.
Do you know what? I am.
And it is now 6:08. You've got a 6:30 show.
Yeah, so
this is the joy of live radio.
I'm going to see The Tempest for the Lord Chamberlain's
Men.
Performing The Tempest.
Tempest up at Brighton Open Air Theatre. And so I do need to skip out a little bit early. I have my permission slip.
Yes, you do. You're free to go. I hope you have your Pack-a-Mac and a thermos of hot tea.
Well, it's not exactly
it's
a thermos.
Festival weather now.
It's festival drink as well that I have rather than tea. And I'm ready with my bag and my picnic and various waterproof elements with me. I'm wearing my walking boots. Did you not notice?
Lovely.
For the mud up at the
park.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, it works on radio, holding a foot up, doesn't it?
Yeah, put
so,
it away.
Yeah, thanks to all today's guests. And I've been Rebecca Sandals, and I'm going to go and see a show.
Good.
Bye.
Well, off you pop. And Jack Claremont, thank you very much for joining us. We'll do it all again next year.
Absolutely. See you then.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, back tomorrow.
Back tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Well, off you pop now. Go on.
Bye.
Cheer off. Bye. 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 And as we wave her out the door, let us return to Carleen Anderson. And this is Begin Again. One of the big names from the Brighton Festival 2018, Carleen Anderson and Begin Again. And Rebecca was quite a sight to see, actually, as she popped off with her enormous camping bag to go out to Brighton Open Air Theatre. She'll be having a chat with the Lord Chamberlain's men who are doing The Tempest at Boat. That'll be on tomorrow's show. And we're going to be looking back at some of our pick of the festival and looking forward to what's happening in the final weekend of the festival as well. You've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and an absent Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM and online Monday to Friday 5 to 6 during the festival, repeated 10 o'clock and 9 a.m. the next day. If you want to catch up with any of the programmes, any of the mini podcasts as well from the various interviews that we've done over the course of the festival, if you go to Audio Boom and look up Radio Reverb, you will find a cornucopia of festival content. Thank you very much to today's guests: Tariq El Mutawakil, Rob Jones, Ian Shaw, Jackie Summers, Valerie Fouché, Jack Claremont and Dan Babaline. Going to play around with Lang. They played last Friday at St. George's Church. From me, Melita, and an absent Rebecca. See you tomorrow. Bye.